You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Bang.
Hey, before we start this week's episode, we have another world premiere from our friends over at Daze, our buddy Lumpy. This band is called Boulevard of Death. They're from Italy. I chose to do this intro because the Boulevard of Death is Queens Boulevard, which is two streets up from where I currently live in Woodside, Queens, New York. So it's a very close to home name. So their band is called Boulevard of Death from Italy. The song is called Survive. It's off their upcoming EP, Hate Too Much to Love, and it's coming out on April 14th. So that's coming out on Daze Records. Band is called Boulevard of Death. Check it out.
From 72 also, about being on the road, it's called Turn the Page. Yeah.
One, two, three, and...
On a long and lonesome highway, east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about
it would be the Joe Budden part would be really good on that episode too, though.
That's a fact.
Yo, how CNN liberal? Fuck that.
I'm Team Rory. No, I'm Team Mall.
Conservative. No. CNN here. All right. Start it off the way we normally do it, PK.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the Hardcore Podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
I'm Tom. And Pat seemed confused. He was like, I'm Patrick?
Yeah, I was.
It was kind of a question.
So that was not a bit. That was actually, I was going to tack on something after my name and then
had it lost bit. Yeah.
Well, because here's the thing. I'm warning you guys now. I'm really fucking slow today.
Okay.
Like remarkably slow. I had to walk into the other room. So it's funny you should say that, Tom. I don't like to see myself as a caffeine addict, as I am a righteous edgeman of many years. However, my brain was moving positively sluggish. So for people,
Ian Kai just called. He said, "Tell your friend, fuck you."
Yeah, yo, quick pause before we get so far away from it. It's irrelevant because I want to get right back to this. Leave all that preamble in because I want to see people see how quick we flip the switch sometimes. That's pretty good. It was pretty good.
So I had to walk into the other room to Eric after like 15 minutes of being like, I can't be this dumb. Am I this dumb? And I said, Eric, what's that word where you're like, you're rich and you're kind of crazy, but you're rich. So people don't say shit.
Eccentric.
Goes, yes, right. Yes. And I was like, so I sat there staring at my computer screen going peculiar, odd.
Which works.
Iconoclastic. You know, like I'm.
But you weren't hitting the nail on the head.
No, and I had
terrible feeling.
Oh God, it felt brain slow. So
that means your head's too full.
You know what's interesting? This is shinfo for our listeners. Everybody,
isn't this all shinfo?
Yeah, it's true. Bob and Tom joke about how little I like to work, but it's not a joke. It's not
this
a
shit
joke.
Sucks.
It's difficult for me to stay motivated, like many people that are like of a certain generation that probably their moms love them too much and they think they don't got to work. That's me. And
right, the greatest generation.
It's the thing is, I can only focus on the things that are exciting to me. I've had good jobs, like, oh, you're gonna have a career here, kid, and I'm in the other room, like, yeah, I'm not going to do that work. I'm going to write my comic books over here on the clock until I get fired. And
right.
That's just who I am, and it's a bad quality, no doubt. But the last 3 days, I've had actual work to do where hours fly by because I'm just working. And I hate that. I like to go for a walk in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. I love that you've gotten to that point at this age of your life.
Oh, it's terrible, Tom.
That you're like, fuck, I want to go take a walk, but like, I got work to do. Like, that to me is incredible that it took you to 29 years old to finally fucking experience that feeling.
Yeah, listen, I'm trying to push it out of my life. I'm trying to become crypto rich so I can just abandon this this working life.
I have a crypto question for you, which you may not have the answer to.
Okay.
But so now I kind of get what crypto is, sort of whatever. Yep. Why is it such a like an energy suck, like an actual electricity suck?
Oh. Okay, so this is an interesting question that I've read a lot about in the last few weeks because it became a really big deal in the art world, right?
Yeah, for NFTs.
Yeah, so for NFTs and it's in comics, this is a war. Like if you're on Team NFT, people are like they jump out at you like they're Captain Planet and you're the fucking like the evil corporation.
Yeah, all of a sudden they haven't used a plastic bag in 35 years.
Yeah, so I went and looked into it, and there's been a number of people that have written articles lately, and essentially, so blockchain technology is hard drive intensive, right? So you're basically using. What are they called? You're using hard drives to mine for the shit, and also the transaction costs. So like all of it is requiring computing technology that has to be plugged in nonstop and uses energy. So for example, if you're going to mine these coins, essentially just running these lines of code indefinitely and generating this fake thing, essentially.
Yeah, essentially it's like they're saying the value is in this motion, this energy that's happening, this transaction.
And that costs, that has an associated energy cost. However, the thing that I would urge people who have misgivings about blockchain technology or NFTs, et cetera, to look into is the associated costs of the servers that they use every day for entertainment purposes. So for example, if you are utilizing YouTube, you have to jump immediately out of the blockchain is too damaging to the environment conversation.
Sure,
you are no longer welcome here because you don't understand what's going on, and you've been fed this line where it's like, oh, it uses so much. So, Tom, here's what's important. It doesn't use as much as has been stated by people that are hysterical about this subject. If you look at the complete pie chart, it's an incredibly small amount relative to the others. That's not to say that if you think that blockchain technology, if you think that cryptocurrencies are total nonsense, then it's entirely too much energy to use on them. Entirely too much. If you think that they are a valid way to accrue wealth, save wealth, transfer money onto your kids in some way, et cetera, et cetera. Or if you just think it's a hustle that you could become slightly rich in the short term, then you might think it's definitely worth the energy burn, because the energy burn is not that much more significant than so many things that people enjoy. And per household, it's fucking minute compared to entertainment shit that we enjoy every single day.
Okay.
And that is your blockchain minute. Hey, sponsors. Big shout outs to Death Wish Inc. Big shout outs to Run for Cover. Today, we're going to talk about two of our other friends, To Live a Lie and Closed Casket Activities. Who wants to start and where are we starting?
I'm going to start in Troy, New York.
Yeah.
I'm going to our friends at Closed Casket. They've been busy during the pandemic.
Busy. And
germane to the, I use that now because Pat used it and I was like, that's a good word. I'm going to interpolate
good
that
word.
Into my.
Go up.
My, germane to the topic at hand for this week. I think they have a lot of, now that things are opening up, they put out a bunch of records that have, that are going to have a huge impact once shows are, you know, that have had a huge impact already and will have even a bigger impact once shows are happening. The Regional Justice Center record.
Oh yeah.
The God's Hate record.
Yes.
That Vain record, the old Data and a New Machine.
Yeah, like that. It was like the remixes and kind of reissuing.
Yeah, new song material. Or two. Yeah. I think that's a good look. And I think, like, if that's a forebearer of what's to come for them, like,
yeah,
fucking sky's the limit, honestly. I'm curious. They might have a record done already. Who the hell knows? You know what I mean? Like, they could be working in silence this whole time and have something ready. But I'm curious to see, you know, what the hell's a God's Hate show going to look like now?
Oh,
they were, they were rough enough 3 years ago. I mean, they went from like, I forget who it might've been. Colin posted like before the record came out, they had 3,000 monthly listeners on Spotify. Now they're at like 58,000, 55,000 more people started listening to them.
Yeah. That's cool. I feel like their first show back in LA could be pretty messy, like just a wild style, you know?
Yeah, I mean, helmets, you know, fuck a mask, you need a helmet.
Yo, I fully endorse this message as well. I think Regional Justice Center, Crime and Punishment, like, I think in a way that surprised the band, like, you guys might know this, and maybe you felt it with some releases, or maybe you haven't, but I think there was a little bit... Like, those dudes obviously believed in the record and thought it was great and psyched on it. But I think they might have been, like, surprised at how big it went, how many people were really, really feeling it.
They had to have been. I mean, there's no way that you could have thought, like, I mean, because, you know, they put out good records before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, you know, Nate being, you know, a famous wrestler. Like,
oh,
no. I mean, like, as someone who watches, like, the dude's famous. Like, he's well known.
That for sure. I was talking about RJC too, though. Regional Justice Center.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry.
I pivoted. No, well, it's okay. Because I think it's true for both.
But I think RJC was like kind of got some of the military gun energy.
Mm.
And I think like people were kind of like getting hit to them before this. And this was just like a perfect storm of like, you know, huge label, huge sounding record, huge looking record. Like the fucking artwork in that thing is incredible.
Agree. PK, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, I spoke to Ian the other day from RJC, and he said, I thought doing a band with you would help alienate people and we wouldn't be that big, but it looks like now we got to do a bunch of shows.
Yeah. Like what, SWAT or yeah. Regional Draft?
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Like he's like, I really thought this was going to push the people away, but fuck, you didn't do your job.
Yeah, well,
you can't even do that. Imagine that.
No.
We're going to get into that
powerful
stuff. We're going to get into it, but yo, check out those records and all the other releases of recent carriage for Closed Casket Activities. Go to closedcasketactivities.com. Fill up your web cart and let them know that Axe to Grind sent you, okay?
Wait, before we go any further.
Ooh, you got something else?
I think Bob is going to know the answer. Tom, we've almost certainly mentioned this in passing on the show, but...
108.
just because we gave a shout out to Troy, New York, do you know what Troy's little nickname is?
Oh, God. No.
The Collar City. And it's
for rest.
It's named that. Yeah. It's the Perp City.
Yeah, it's the Perp City.
It's funny. With Tom's career advocating for people on Rikers, he has a completely different connotation for collar.
Yeah. But yeah.
Think
more just our friend's old profession.
Yeah.
Relation there.
So
textiles.
In the 1900s, 90 out of every 100 collars worn in the United States were made in Troy, New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they make them now?
No, every single one of them had left by 1980. Yeah. So,
no. You know what? That tracks, actually. That tracks a lot. Does.
Pat, yeah. When you were a kid, did you ever go to Troy?
Yes, my father worked in Troy. So, so for anybody that knows the region, immediately over the Green Island Bridge is where my father worked next to. This is going to be very recognizable to people who live in the area. There is a gravestone sales place, and my father worked basically right next to it. And some of my earliest memories are going over that bridge. Here's some Albany old shit for people that care. Mm-hmm. My oldest memories, besides going to the parking lot of an OTB, were
good OTB.
Going to Coulson's on.
Are you talking about the place with all the magazines?
Yes, exactly right.
It's one of my favorite places in the world.
For sure. Bob, would you try explaining this to somebody that maybe if you're like, if you're 26 or under, the concept of a store that sells magazines is obscure to you.
I might as well talk about like life on Mars. they had more magazines than you could imagine.
Yes.
They had comics, not a crazy selection of comics, but more comic books than probably was rightful to have. But, you know, so I think everybody who's listening, maybe somebody who's super young, imagine the magazine section at Barnes & Noble, you know, this giant chain place, but maybe even double it up. Like
double
just
it up.
Goes, and not as kind of wholesome. Like there was everything. They had everything. I bought lots of weird horror movie magazine, like Fangoria and that kind of thing, heavy metal, but like those are just tip of the iceberg. I wish I had a time machine to go back, because I wonder how small press they were getting, because they had lots of stuff. Like I couldn't believe how much stuff they had.
They had
Ninja Turtle comics, the OG run.
Honestly, I think they took anything that the distributor had.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything.
I can't believe you brought up Coulson's. Tom, we've never talked about it before. This is a place that I would go to with my dad all the time. Not far from Siena, actually.
That's the other Coulson's. Yeah, I've been to both of those so often.
Because the other one's right near Latham, so I would go there.
It is a, RIP to magazine shops. I got excited when I moved.
I can't even explain how cool it was.
I got excited when I moved to LA because LA famously has magazine stands.
You know, on like, the street.
Yeah, and they've all been closed.
Let me get the Variety, whatever.
Shout out to Bella Napoli. Shout out, there used to be a little diner. That was the reason I went to Troy. There was some diner right there, kind of on the main run there, that my dad sold coffee to. But I think he used going there as an excuse to go to Bell and Appley.
There you go.
And now Troy is like down a hill from Albany, correct?
Across the river.
I don't know who gave me this bullshit information that when we used to drive to our $75 gigs at the QE2, we would be coming down whatever street that is. If it's Washington or Lark or whatever it was. If you looked to your left as you're going like from 87 or whatever, going towards the venue, if you looked down to your left, we would speak in like hushed tone, like, that's Troy. I don't know if that's right.
No. You're, well.
I don't know.
You certainly could have if you were, yes.
Did they come up 787? That's the way, right? Like,
but maybe. They would have been looking, it would have been across the river to your left, Tom. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Sure, but like it was like down and across the river. That makes sense.
Yeah, if Albany kind of slopes to the river.
Okay, yeah. So it wasn't totally off.
No. And then you kind of go up a hill once you get into Troy.
But wait, that's where Sigmund is from.
Everybody loves the 518 talk, so shout out.
Yeah, we've had our hold on. Let's see how many listeners we can alienate with crypto into Albany.
Yo, by the way, we got a great message from somebody who hits us a lot, who works for the most prominent promoter of Albany of all time, currently still, and says they truly enjoy the stories about Mr. Etol. You know,
okay, that's so, that's actually shout out to Ted.
Yes, correct.
Shout out to Ted.
Shout out to Uncle Sam. And yo, let's move along to somewhere a little faster. To Live a Lie Records.
So fast.
Let's go to toliveali.com. Today, I'm just kind of browsing the distro. The first thing I wanted to grab was the Low Threat Profile Product 2 LP. It's on Deep Six Records. Reason I bring it up is that I guess it's about 10, maybe 11 years old now. This is a band. They did a 7-inch before this, which was Product 1, if you will. Members of No Comment, members of Lack of Interest, members of Infest, doing what they do. But on revisit, I was like, yo, I own this record still. But I was like, yo, let me throw this on. It's not power violence. It's just really fast hardcore. And I was thinking like, yo, there might be people out there who have a hard time diving into the power violence stuff. And there's sort of a speed below that that just doesn't get a lot of play right now in the kind of, you know, the mainstream of hardcore that we talk about. But this record's perfect. It pulls in all the early 80s influences without trying to cosplay or dress it up. Clearly, you can tell the bands these guys came from. And I think this is like very high quality, very fast hardcore. So check that out. The Low Threat Profile Product 2. Tom, I was listening to it and I was like, oh, Tom could totally get behind this. Got a lot of personality. I think actually, Patrick, you could too. So yeah, I'm strongly recommending that.
Check that out.
I think he still has a couple copies of some RJC records. And if you don't get them now, they will be gone. So for people who got in on the newest Regional Justice Center record, I'm going to just tell you, you can get World of Inconvenience on white marble vinyl at $250 at the To Live a Lie store, but there are not many left. I think this is like, hey, I found 10. Let me throw them up.
And that literally might be one of my favorite covers of the last like 20 years.
Yo, if you can, people, I think Ian might have posted this. We're showing a lot of love to our buddy Ian today, so shout out. Of the three Regional Justice Center 12 inches, because they're all Mark McCoy art, whether intentional or not, they work together so well. So go complete your collection, toliveali.com. Hit that web store, fill your basket, let them know we sent you. Thank you. Guys, how we doing?
I feel great.
We're doing. Pat feels great now. All he needed was a couple of sponsor reads, and now he's back.
He just needed to speed up. He just needed that energy pickup.
I did. I needed to talk about crypto. It gives me life. And then a little Troy talk in there, stir it up.
We talked magazines, periodicals. Shit.
Ooh, I love periodicals, man. I love
me too, man. I know. It's the dead world. Guys,
this
I saw.
Is so Pat's. This is such a Pat episode already.
This is a Pat episode. Here, let's. I got a picture of a movie thing. We'll do this really quick just to kind of like. We usually do what a solid 20 minutes of like horse shitting around before we record.
Gibberish.
Sure. Total. Like,
oh, before we even start recording. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and after it's like usually that too.
Yeah, one we of got us all has the stuff out that pants. We can't talk. Yeah, yes. It's usually Pat. That's like, I reheated food. I'm going to poop myself. I got to go.
Here's our kind of like our warm up pitch before we get into today's big topic. You have three movie franchises to lose forever and any future projects of these franchises I'm going to give you.
Okay.
I saw this and I was like, oh, this is a good question for these dudes. And it was hard for me to be honest too. So you lose three of these, any three.
Full franchises.
Okay.
Got it.
Star Wars, Harry Potter, 007, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Marvel Cinematic Universe, DC Cinematic Universe, Fast and the Furious, Indiana Jones, Avatar, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park. Tom, right, I gotta go
first.
Yeah, you go first.
Because otherwise I'll forget my choices. So I would go, and this may not be popular, but I don't really give a crap because I can justify some of the ones that I'm leaving off this list.
For sure.
Harry Potter.
Okay.
Get back. J.K. Rowling, go fuck yourself. 007, don't really care. Lord of the Rings, don't really give a shit.
Wow.
Interesting.
Okay. Patrick, you want to go?
Fast and the Furious, I hated forever.
Okay.
And then I finally was like, you know what? Just watch one.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Fast and the Furious are like the E-Town of movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yo,
you go, I can't like this. And then you listen to it, you're like, yo, this is fucking dope. Dude, it was the same thing.
I resisted. And then one time, I mean, it's now a decade ago, probably, Tokyo Drift was on TV. And I was like,
that's the one that gets you. It's sneaky.
It got me. It got me. And then I was like,
sneaky.
It's like, yo, they broke their machine. We're like, hey, we're going to do it with a totally different cast. Why not? And then I was in. And then I loved the family. I was all in. So, all right, Patrick, what is yours?
These are the ones I'm tossing.
You're tossing three. Do you want me to run through it again or you got it?
No, this is easy. Avatar's toilet water. Get the fuck out of it. The DC movies are trash, but I do like laughing at them.
No.
You don't have any hope for the Suicide Squad? I think that looks good.
I know. Listen, it looks fine, but I've kind of like James Gunn is like sort of demonstrating himself to be like a weak Hollywood nerd now, as opposed to like a transgressive sort of from the trauma school sort of guy. It could be fine. I'm sure it'll be above average. And the Harry Potter ones, it missed me generationally, so it doesn't resonate. Although I will say that I went with a girlfriend to whichever movie that Dobby dies.
And that hurt
you. My dog had died, and I it hit me. I still get like, oh, when I think about Dobby's last words, I get very, very upset.
Yeah.
So maybe I'd keep that one. Give me another one of the bullshit ones.
Okay, 007, Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Fast and the Furious, Indiana Jones, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park.
Oh, we can get rid of Jurassic Park. I don't give a shit about that.
Okay. So you're getting rid of DC, Jurassic Park, Avatar, or are you doing Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, Avatar?
No, we'll keep Harry Potter because my eyes got wet thinking about that part, so that's got to mean something.
All right, so I'm gonna ditch. Avatar was the easy one for me.
Yeah, it's trash.
Yeah, and they got like 10 movies planned, and I'm like, really? Who cares?
There's no demand. Get it out of your fucking head.
Too late
no
now.
Demand.
It's over. It's over.
When did that movie come? The movie came out 10 years ago. What the fuck?
No demand.
None. So here we got to define these products. We're never seeing these movies. Like, I'm trashing this. I'll never see these movies again. Jurassic Park. I guess it's gone.
Wow.
I have a soft spot for it. I like enjoy it, but I think Jurassic Park 2 ruined it for me. And then 3 was just the trope style. Like 3 is the remake of 1, but we just jazzed it up because 2 was the offshoot. Harry Potter missed me generationally. However, like all three of us. However, there's a ton of content there. And so in my head, initially looking at this, I'm like, yeah, they got like a ton of movies. So if I was just going to sit and watch fucking 8 movies in a row, I could do that. I think this is going to sound crazy. I might ditch Back to the Future, despite the fact that I really like it. It's just 3 movies. No, all right. It's Harry Potter. Harry Potter's gone. Oh, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, Avatar. Damn.
So let it be written. So let it be done. Now let's talk about hardcore. What hardcore are we going to delete from the world?
Jeez, that's another episode. We're talking about guys.
We already snapped it. Walter's still talking about fucking Brian Murray.
That's our contribution to the world of hardcore.
He's going to kill you. He's going to snap you today. You're going to snap it. And
can't believe it. Shout out, Walter. That was a cool time.
That was such a great episode.
Yo, guys, we teased this like 3-4-ish weeks ago. How are you guys feeling about touring and shows?
Here's what's real. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It's coming.
Yes, exactly. That's my thoughts exactly. Here's my first thought, though. Oh, how do you want to do this? We'll just shoot the shit?
No, start, kick us off.
T- talking to some of our friends in the biz, to me, it sounds like being a local band that does like a weekend of shows even sounds like it's more feasible sooner or more like manageable than a tour. Like our mutual friend was explaining like, well, you know, you go, you know, California may have like three different restrictions or regulations depending on where you are. You know, you cross state lines. It's almost as if you're touring in Europe in the 90s before the EU. Like everything is different from state to state.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, I jokingly was like, what is like Dallas or Houston, like the biggest music market in the United States? And he's like, Dallas, Houston. Oh, no, I said Dallas or Miami. And he's like, Dallas, Houston, and probably Tampa are the biggest music markets right now in the United States of America.
Into those cities, enjoy your time.
Like, you know what I mean? But like, it's true, though. Yeah, it's very true. Like, New York's not. I mean, how are you doing anything in New York?
Oh,
indoors, especially.
Going to be a while.
Well, I mean, like, you know, there's big tours.
Not that long, I guess. I don't know.
No, I mean, Julian Baker's playing here in September.
Well, so that is
the Beacon.
That is the timeline. What do you guys want to say? I was privy to a list of avails. Patrick, have you seen any avail sheets yet?
I'm just getting tour offers. I'm not looking at
any. You want to explain what avails are?
Avails are tours that are planning and looking for bands to be involved and looking for support acts or looking to be support acts, essentially. So it basically is like, hey, here's the status update of our roster. August, September.
That would post that.
Yeah, August, September. There's some stuff that looks like it's going to be rolling. Just kind of putting it out there. It seems like we're heading in the right direction, right? Like in terms of people getting vaccinated, in terms of people kind of following the rules. And I say that, you know, in that really like fingers crossed kind of way, but that seems okay. Where are you guys at?
I mean, the numbers are going down, and I think, you know, I you don't have to go, and that's
right.
Kind of the resolution I've come to, that it's kind of like, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, people have to make money, and like the government has failed their citizens, so at some point you just kind of have to go like, all right, well, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, I might not be willing to risk my life for, you know, a fucking hardcore show in May.
Yeah.
There are people, you know, I mean, like, all right, but I'm fully vaccinated or whatever. But like, if I was, you know, Norman Corman number two, and I'd be like, ah, well, you know what? Like, I live with a sickly partner or like, you know, maybe you don't go, and I get it. But like, at some point, like, it's been, you know, 18, you know, whatever it is, 14 months or whatever. Like, you kind of, at sooner or later, people are just going to be like, fuck you and just go and do it.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a question for you, Pat.
Yes.
And this may sound shitty, and not to you, but to other
people. You know I'm hard to offend. Please go on.
Do you think, like, it's time, like, should, like, the touring bands that were, like, legit touring bands before the snapping, should they get, like, first dibs? Should, like, my concern is that, like, everyone's like, touring's open, and then, like, everyone's going to try to get out there. Like, do you think, like, it should be like, all right, young ones, young Padawans, you hold on for a bit. Let these, you know, these folks that have been, like, you know, basing their lives and their, like, their mortgages around this shit, let us get back out there first, make some of that year and a half worth of money we didn't make. Then y'all can come back around.
You're asking my opinion?
Yeah, I just feel like for bands that are like, you know, would usually be weekend warriors and now are like, fuck it, let's get out there. It's like, there's not enough room for everybody right now.
No, but there isn't. But this is where I become like true, like anarcho-capitalist kid. Let the market decide. You know what I mean? Like those shows, a promoter that wants to do those shows is welcome to. If you can get that, if you can get those dates, then that's cool. But here's my feeling, and this is from having a friend who's a pretty successful booking agent, is people are thirsty as fuck right now. Yes. And you're going to see a lot of big bands doing things that they would never, ever do.
Like underplays, right?
Everybody be mindful of this.
Yes. This is the number one thing I'm hearing, by the way. Yes.
The co-headlines that you are going to see in 2022 are going to blow your fucking mind. So
like Templar's Self-Defense Family?
Yeah, okay. Precisely.
Yeah, like
it's like you're going
like Slayer Blink-182 or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to see that. So you're going to see out of genre stuff, but you're also going to see, so I assume everybody at home kind of understands this intuitively, but might not know it consciously. A lot of the shows that, or a lot of the tours that might make sense to you in your mind, they're not done because of ego. And it's a lot of like, fuck this band. I don't want to go out with this band, or I think my band's bigger than this band. I don't want, blah, blah, blah. That shit is wiped away by incredible thirst for even a crumb of fucking financial stability. So we've probably talked about this. When you see bands of a certain generation touring together, it means that that type of music is over. By the way, everybody, that doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it. But like when you see bands that would have been at the top of their field at one time, now doing a co-headline together, it means that they have to. That's what
then it becomes like that Summerland touring fest where it's like, here we got Gin Blossoms Fest. Who's the father of mine? Who's that band?
Let's just say Gin Blossoms.
Everclear.
Everclear.
Yeah, Everclear. Thank you.
The band who got called out recently because they had a line about being the only white kid in a black neighborhood.
Is that true?
I was like, that didn't sound cool in 1994. It's more fucked up in 2021.
Well, listen.
Okay.
Here's the thing. We're going to see a lot of that. And everybody, that doesn't mean that shit's not cool. If you like the Gin Blossoms, like when I say something's over,
I love the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah. When I say something's over, it doesn't mean it's actually over for you. It just means that like the tide has turned on that style and there's no reason that a thinking person should try to keep up with what is in. There's no reason, but it's just this stuff turns. And as it turns, you see egos massaged into shape.
Well, and I mean, honestly, I want to pull this back because I thought Tom asked the cool question to start it. There is going to be this weird thing where I think we can all acknowledge that 14 months in underground music world is actually kind of a long time. And we've talked about a little bit here and there. Yo, it's going to be different. There's going to be bands who were hot, who are not hot. There's going to be bands who were not hot, who are very hot. There's going to be bands who didn't exist, who are hot as fuck. And
all true.
And that's going to create some weird market stuff. There's going to be some weird adjustments. At first, I feel like everyone's going to thrive. Like people, Pat's been saying this for a long time, and I don't think we ever disagreed. It was more just like the hesitance of seeing like, okay, when are we even going to see this? How's the rollout going to be? Because I'm seeing numbers that feel strong and even better than the numbers of people who are getting vaccinated. The numbers of people who are saying they are not going to get vaccinated have flipped. Cause I think people are going, oh, I don't have to pay for it. All right. Fucking why? Fine. All right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, also look, there's just, we got to give some social pressure doesn't mean necessarily that somebody's leaning on you. It's just that there is a turning of the consensus opinion. So, I mean, a good example would be opening this shit up at all. Like if you scraped Twitter for opinion 3 months ago, you'd hear people saying we shouldn't open up until 2022, no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question.
But I mean, I think the tenor in the country has changed too, and not
no doubt.
And yep. Partially in a like throw your hands up and who gives a fuck.
Yep.
And partially just because like things have actually moved.
222 deaths yesterday.
Yep.
In America, like
In America. Now, I'm not minimizing those at all because
no, I mean it's somebody's family.
Exactly right. Somebody's family, and also. Tom, a friend of you and I's, has been going through a serious COVID thing. I've been surprised shout out to him. I've been surprised that it hit him this hard, but I'm.
He's texted me now, yeah. And I'm in the hospital twice.
I'm honestly taking it very seriously because I've been the guy that's been like, who gives a shit, blah, blah, blah. But like, you know, you see a friend in a bad situation and it makes you feel something. So it's I'm not taking those 222 lives for granted, but it's in about a month, we're going to be at the same amount of COVID deaths that there are auto accident deaths in the United States per day.
Right. And, but I think that's the big thing, because people were making a big deal because a bigger hardcore band announced a show, you know, with a quick turnaround, with like a month turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one really said anything. You know, meanwhile, there had been that earlier show, which might have been around the same time, but was announced like fucking 4 months ago. And people were like, what are you fucking insane? Like, why would you think of doing this? But it's outdoors and blah, blah. So people are like, you know, how come, these bands, like, number one, it's three. Well, number one, the obvious. Number two, like, you know, things are so much different. In December, it seemed like this was never going to end.
There's also
in April, it seems like it might.
Well, and like, there was a reason that whenever we teased this 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, whatever it was, like, we literally said, yo, it's going to feel different in a few weeks, so that's why we want to hold the conversation. And now feels like a fun time to have this, fun in the most, you know, quotes around it way, but like, it looks like some stuff's going to happen, and it feels not like it's going to feel crazy at that point, you know?
Oh, I think my sincere belief, and I think I've probably said this for a little while, but I think now I'll sound less insane.
Oh yeah.
My sincere belief is that when this kicks into gear, we are going to be shocked at how quickly people take to it. I think
if somebody, you got to put your foot in first, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, precisely. You know what, Tom? That's a good point. There is a, I already ruined my diet on this one cupcake. I'm going to eat the entire package of cupcakes.
Right. I think you almost have to like dip your toe in, and you're like, all right, that wasn't as bad as I was expecting to be. I've been locked in my home for 14 months.
Yes.
Anything is going to be weird. I don't know about you guys, like, you know, well, I mean, I live by myself and stuff, but like, any, like, social interactions, I feel like I'm getting out of like a fucking cave.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That, you know, it's not that easy to just kind of like acclimate yourself. I mean, imagine like going from somewhere to go, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's not like, you know, being incarcerated, but like, you're getting back out to this and you're like, all right, okay, I never thought I would do this, or like, I wanted to do this so badly, but now, you know, it's a scary proposition no matter what. That first show you go to, and if you want to get tested afterwards and you have a negative test, you're going to be like, oh, well, all right. Maybe this wasn't. And that's fine.
I'm going to say something, Tom. You are typically the soft touch on this podcast where you want to be as open-hearted to as many people as possible.
I try.
I think that's fair, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. With this platform Tom is very conscious of the platform. You know what I mean? So, but I'm going to invoke your spirit for a second. Right.
Okay.
And just say a thing that's been on my mind is, and I know that this is a weird conversation coming from me because I've been somewhat strident about not taking this as seriously as some other people.
Right, masks with like people's buttholes and stuff.
Yeah. So
that went over real well.
So I'm perhaps not the person, but
show your platitudes here. Let's go.
Well, I just want to say that a number of people, both in my life and in my friends' lives, have been in a desperate way lately. Mental health stuff. And when drilled down on and like, hey, what's actually going on here? The answer is all the same, which is, hey, I think I'm just freaking out. This has been really rough this year. And I think that if there was a rubber band, now obviously some people snapped in the first few weeks, but if there's been a rubber band, there might be a rubber band effect where
it has. I can say that from personal experience.
So is it hitting you a little bit harder in the last month and a half than you anticipated? Like, is the last mile the hardest mile, is what I mean to say. I'm trying to give our listeners like my sympathy. And I've been the dickhead. So I just want to make it clear, like, hey, those of you that are struggling, of course, talk to people, do whatever you can, et cetera. But like, also understand, like, yo, it's okay to struggle, and we are nearing the end of this seemingly. So I don't like to get too heavy, but it's been on my mind because I was shocked at the number of people that have just like basically broken down and said, this year has been just very, very hard. So
yeah, because I think when you're in the, I mean, it's almost like, you know, the whole, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Yep. Yeah.
Like when you're in the middle of the fucking thing, it seems endless. And it's like, you can't panic because it's like, well, I mean, well, you can obviously, but like, I feel like a lot of people are kind of like, now that it's towards the end, you look back, you're like, fuck. Like I ran through like briars and thorns and I'm all cut up now.
Yeah.
Like now I can see where I got to go. But like in the middle of that stuff, you don't even think about it. And I think that's kind of what hits a lot of people. That, and also the return to normalcy is a fucking not what a lot of people want too.
No, that's a fact.
That's very true.
I'm not trying to go back to a fucking office, man.
No, that's, see, Tom, there's on so many, yo, on so many levels, what you said is true. Because there's that. There's these things that I think are universal. I think there's some there's a lot of weird ways people have taken this. I also really like the way you said that. When you're in the middle of the shit, you're in a fight, you're in a fucking game, you're in whatever, you're running through a thorn bush, you realize, hey, this is the situation. Head down. Let's go. That's not everyone, but that's a lot of people I know. That's a lot of the way I am.
Right. That's how it was when I got hit by the car last year.
Right. Yeah. Like, let me get
in the middle of it. You're like, fuck, I get hit by a car. And then half hour later, I go, what the fuck? I get hit by a car.
Right. And now you're saying it exactly in this situation. You're nearing the end. Maybe the thorn bush is cleared up a bit and you can see like, I'm not at the end, but I'm getting there. And you look down and you're like, oh fuck, I'm shredded.
Yeah.
This is, I am different now than I was 14 months ago in ways that some people maybe have made improvements in their life. Some people have felt better. Some people have done different things and some people have had both ways, but there's a lot of people out there who are looking around going, damn, I'm not able to socialize the same way I used to. I feel different. Things are weird. I got to readjust. So this is definitely a case where the acclimation process is going to be an active thing for the next, I mean, the rest of this
couple
year.
Probably. Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I bet you'd be a couple years before, you know, like, cause people are going to do it at their own fucking pace.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, shows can happen and everything and whatever.
Oh, and I mean, I think what you said there, do it at their own pace. Key phrase.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, shit's not going to be normal.
Yeah.
Quote unquote normal. Until like summer of 2022.
Yeah.
Like legit, like tours playing full venues, you know, not everyone has to bring a fucking card in their man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be tough. And I mean, I think talking to, like, you know, we can get on to this too. Like even like business wise, some of the stuff that's kind of come from this, like, you know, on the booking agent promoter level.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Like, because I had asked, I was like, is any of the, like, does anything get charged back to the band? You know what I mean? So, like, you know, right. A lot of places, it's like, you know, all right, well, the sound person is $300 and, you know, it's 500 people, $500 for security and they, like all the sort of stuff. Friend of ours was saying that, like, a lot of these venues are charging back, you know, $750 to $1,000 for COVID cleaning after the show.
Right, additional costs. So, like, that's coming off the top, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, nothing's free. Like, you're not getting free food. Like, so, like, that's getting added to it. Then there's, like, you know, a lot of promoters are putting in, like, those kind of, act of God kind of stuff?
Clauses, sure.
You know, clauses into the contracts that it's, like, you know, fucking Foo Fighters could be playing in the Garden for fucking, you know, $1 million. But if only $250,000 comes through the door, they go COVID clause, and then they're only getting the $250. Like they're not getting their guarantee; they're getting the gross at the door, and that's it. Which for hardcore doesn't really. I mean, it affects some people.
It does. It'll affect some people, and it just is one of those things people should probably think about. I have a feeling that that's going to be a lot more widespread than we think. I mean, Patrick, does any of that surprise you?
With the big tours, literally nothing that I hear would surprise me because we've kind of talked about this a lot, that you can't have a mass casualty event if you're Foo Fighters. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't afford to have your whatever.
No,
you're whatever the riot at the Who show where somebody died. You can't have
your Altamont.
Altamont, yeah.
You can't, no, the Rolling Stones.
It was Rolling Stones. Right. Rolling Stones was Altamont. There was a Who concert where I think somebody died. Anyway,
right.
The point is, you don't want that, obviously, because you don't want somebody to die, but also because bad optics, bro. So like, there's going
you're able to be sued.
Yeah. I mean, that's
but the ticket will say that you can't.
Yeah. Well,
right.
No, it will.
Yeah. Tom, let's talk about that though. Everybody, those things that you sign in life, I tell you this both as somebody that signs them, and I now employ people on occasion. I have to have people sign things. They are not worth shit. So like, if you choose to sue the garden, trust me, you can sue the garden. I think you minimize your problems. Like somebody stubbed their toe, they're going to look at the back of the ticket and go, damn. But somebody gets a spinal injury, they're going to sue you no matter what. So, nothing would surprise me about a big tour because they have to, limit their liability as much as possible. And they, if that means having everybody tested at the door, if that means show going COVID passport, it could mean a million things, but they are going to be scared for the first few months, unless, big caveat, unless they're not, unless the thirst for normal life is so intense that this stuff all flies out the window.
And they're willing to let it ride.
And people are willing to let it ride. Because I know the small shit.
I mean, isn't that everybody, though? Like, we're talking about, like, fucking Foo Fighters because it's abstract and it's, like, whatever. But right. Like, if you're doing if fucking Drug Church and Against Me are out there, like,
well,
whomever. Like, I'm not saying that you're touring with Against Me. But band of that level,
see,
they don't want any of their crowd to fucking die. And that's just as likely. I mean, it's just as likely, not in terms of, like, volume.
Right.
But, you know, so, 1 of 20 is 1 of 20 of 1 of 20, wherever that is.
Right.
Right. So Tom, here's the interesting thing there, though. Against Me is an interesting choice for this conversation because Against Me has like a really dedicated fan base that is pretty broad and includes a lot of people who are probably sensitive to this topic. So it's not like a trapped show. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's not right. Like it's not going to, I don't even know who else, like a fucking Alien Ant Farm show. Like right. It's people who are sensitive to the thing. That part matters because I have no doubt that the people in Against Me care about their audience. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but even if they were evil fuckers who didn't, you still have to appear to, because that's your audience. Whereas if you're entrapped, all you have to do is say like, thank you for your service. Come out and fucking play the show. Let people push mosh. And you don't got to worry about that. Like,
right.
So there's a difference there. And
here's another question.
Please.
And I asked our friend and he was like, was that ever allowed? Not really, but it is. So not at like fucking, you know, like a regular punk show, like a fucking DIY type show, but any type of show at like a venue.
Yes.
Will moshing / diving be forbidden?
Right.
Like, are you supposed to stand in your right square?
Way. Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like this stuff sort of works like the slow reopening for like these like fucking like sit down shows or like, you know, like Dinosaur Jr. played that show with Anxious and it was outside.
Sure.
Like you sit in your fucking square.
Yeah.
You know, like you can only go to the bathroom and to like whatever, or like to the to get a beer or whatever the hell the story
sure,
is.
Sure, sure, sure.
And that's it. I'm going to see fucking Drug Church at Irving Plaza, say.
Am I
sitting with my bubble and only allowed to stay there? Like, can you only mosh at your bubble?
Well, that's a good question. Go ahead.
I think unfettered capitalism Patrick can jump out again and say the market will decide. So if those shows are busts, then what you're going to see is what you see in bars in the deepest parts of Brooklyn, which is there's been a smoking ban for most of my life. Not everywhere.
Like, right.
No, of course not.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
If your consumer, your constituents in whatever capacity, don't want the thing and are willing to vote with their dollar, most business people will follow that dollar. So is there going to be a hard bet?
Will they have a say in it, though? I mean, my thought was like, especially I think of like New York City, particularly. I mean, that's my biggest experience. Mm-hmm. But like, that's one thing, like, you know, if you're playing like, say somewhere like, say, Starland Ballroom, and you know, Joey Starland goes to the bouncers, like, don't stop people if they're having a good time, whatever.
Yes.
In New York City, everyone's a fucking cop.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So, like, it's not like, you know, if you're playing fucking, you know, Santos Party House, it's gone, whatever. But if you say you're playing Santos, Andrew WK is not going to stop you from moshing. But the fucking undercover that's there, just like the undercovers that are, you know, like the hip hop police. How do you know there's not going to be a fucking COVID police? There are.
Oh, no.
They've busted bars. They've, you know, bars are fucking being like, all right, well, if you want this beer, you have to buy a peanut butter sandwich.
Wait, let me tell you guys about one that I had no idea that blew my fucking mind. Do you know what bars in San Diego were doing?
No.
Putting signs in the window that said, this is a peaceful protest. And they were invoking their right to peaceable assembly and just serving drinks and being like, it is, and there's no debate that is technically a protest. You know what I mean? So it's like a very funny angle, I thought.
That is pretty, I mean, that's pretty good. I thought you were going to do like they, you know, like back in the day, like when eBay, or like you go to try to buy like tickets, like, you know, and the tickets are like you know, they're selling them for 10 times what they're worth, be like, hey, if you buy this pen for $250,
yes,
you get two free fucking Oasis tickets. Like, that kind of shit. I thought they were going to do that. But like, you can buy this $12 pretzel. And here you go. Beer for your problems. You know, beer for your troubles.
Right. They were doing that at certain places. It was someplace in Long Island was doing the not the good place, but there's some place that's been doing shows for a long time.
Nassau Community College.
No. but it's, you know, it's some shit bar, and they have been having shows throughout COVID. Some folks.
Oh, we talked about that.
Right.
Can I talk about hot dogs?
Something like that? Something like
you had to buy like a chili dog.
There you go.
You want a bunch of people farting chili dogs while moshing to the local Suffolk mosh band?
Yes, correct.
Hey, do I sound reasonable today, guys?
You're lefto Patrick. You're like bleeding heart today. Yeah.
Well,
I've become libertarian comparatively.
I want to talk about something that's like, I'm going to compare New York and LA for a second. And because I like LA and I like people in New York, but I'm not from either place. They could both fall in the ocean eventually. It's fine. But
thanks, bro.
I just wanted to say a thing that I've noticed. LA's had shows, right? And I've hinted around this. I've talked a little bit about this, that nobody says anything because there's a lot of corny white punks that don't feel comfortable criticizing Mexican kids throwing shows, right?
Right.
So like, that's just what it is. The kids in that scene know it, and the corny white kids know it. And so they've kind of let this thing, like, there's these raging, fun as fuck fucking shows.
You saw the big one this weekend, right?
Oh my God.
Those bands, the bands posted it. So it wasn't like anyone fucking.
There was no snitching. I mean, there was several
600 people there.
Moshing. Eric and I had the worst FOMO. We were both sitting at home going, fuck.
It looks fake. It looked like, all right, we're going to put on a show. We're going to put on like a hardcore show for a movie.
Right,
so everyone act ridiculous.
It was like halfway to Golden Voice shows. Like, it was wild looking.
Yes, it looked awesome. So, at any rate,
how did that happen?
Tom, it's been happening because
at that volume,
no, not like that. They've all been smaller, like under a bridge shows, that's kind true. Of thing.
Right, but that's one thing. But like, how did that go on? There wasn't and I'm not saying there should have been, but like, no fucking cop helicopter, no fucking chopper, no black helicopter, no fucking cop driving by.
Tom, I got to say, LA is crazy in this respect. Every single, without exaggeration, every single week, there is a Fast and Furious style, like donuts in a major intersection, like 300 people, like car, impromptu car show that shuts down a major intersection for 30 minutes.
Yes.
And,
wow. All right.
And cops show up, but after. So like, it's like, all right, they've had their fun. Now we show up. And that's how LA's been through this whole pandemic. Like,
all right.
There's two serious crimes on my block in the last maybe 36 hours. And cops.
Lady Gaga's dog walker, bro.
Cops didn't show up to either one. Like, cops are just like, we'll get a second call if somebody's dying, So
Jesus. Yeah.
So that could be part of it. Here's my point. The shout out to the kids that have been doing the shows out here. But I just wanted to say, I'm seeing a different energy directed at kind of like New York hardcore notables, who want to do shows as well. And we've been critical of some of the Mr. John Joseph doesn't present himself perfectly online, and we've been critical of all the same stuff everybody else has. But
of course,
but I just want to say, it's shitty when being notable means that people want to unload their anxieties about the pandemic on you. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's the case.
I'm not saying across the board. I'm just saying that I've seen.
I think a lot of times people are like poking at fucking people and being like, you guys are idiots. I'm the smart one.
No, sure. I'm not.
And I think people are like, fuck you. Like, and you're like, now you're blocked from my, like, what are we doing here? Like, you're talking about like blocking people. We're all adults. No, but I think that's different. Like the singer from fucking Barrage or whatever the band was that played the LA show, who posted the video. I'm not outing them as
they did. That was all above board in the respect that they
right. Were, that dude's were not in. Being like, fuck you guys. You know,
no, sorry.
COVID's Tom, fake.
I should be clear.
And I think, yeah.
I mentioned John Joseph because his name comes up here a lot, and he's in New York, obviously, and he's trying to do things in New York. But so I mentioned him in that respect. And that's not who I'm talking about necessarily. I understand that there's some animus towards John Joseph. What I'm saying is, like, I think that there is, I just noticed this because the LA thing has been thriving and like really building momentum, and it's cool. If you think it's cool, everybody, if you don't think it's cool, don't attend. Okay. Next up.
I mean, I think that shit's dangerous as fuck, if I'm being honest.
Sure. But a self-elected danger, right? So,
We always say that, but it's different.
It is and it isn't. Like,
it's not self-elected. It's a self-elected danger if you decide to fucking jump off the stage and no one catches you. Or you're standing up front, someone dives on you and hurts yourself. Like, that's self-elected. If, like, I go to this fucking show and then I go to, you know, go to fucking In-N-Out afterwards and I fucking cough on somebody's grandmother and they get sick and die, that's not self-elected to that woman.
Tom, with all the sensitivities towards the grandmas that are at the In-N-Out at 1 a.m.,
You never know.
At some point, grandma has got to
die?
No, not at all. I mean, at some point she does. I think that's just a fact, but I'm not being sensitive like that. I'm just saying, grandma got to look out for grandma. You know what I mean? At some point, yes, you and I's major battle through this whole thing has been the rights of the individual versus the responsibility to the group. And you're a reasonable adult where you just go, yeah, listen, I respect everybody's rights here, but like, you got to understand you live in a society and you can't want to, like, you can't put other people at risk needlessly. And that's a
completely right. And to go to a punk show is, to me, is needless.
Listen,
I love hardcore more than anybody, but like, I can wait.
Sure. And but that's the thing. It's your choice. And now your point is, yeah, but if I have to go get groceries and you cough on me, then you've transmitted your choice to me. I fully get it. I just also think that we, during this time, we have focused on this responsibility towards each other that is, and I'm not accusing you of this, Tom, I'm just saying broadly, mm-hmm. that is pretty ingenuine, or disingenuous, I should say. Like, every day of our lives, we take each other's life in each other's hands. And we don't get, we don't get morose about it.
Well,
we don't get,
I mean, a good example here is driving cars, right? you when you go out and drive a car, you have a responsibility to yourself to drive safely, and you have a responsibility to others to drive safely for them. And still, you could die very easily doing everything the right way.
Yes.
And
how often does that really happen?
Oh, I mean, I think it probably happens more often than you think. I mean, you know, it's not like somebody from my block's dying every week going out driving. But if you look at numbers, it's pretty bad.
107 people a day.
Yeah.
Die in auto accidents.
So, right. But I'm saying, like, so I would go as far to guess 80% of those people, so 80% or 90% of those deaths were caused by something. Like, not like I was driving 50. And no, then, you know, like there's only so sure. mostly user error. It's not fucking, I went to hit the brake and the brake didn't work.
No, totally. It's always
driving 85. No. Tiger Woods.
I think that's the reason that you're doing it for both when you go out and drive a car. But it's also, you have to acknowledge as a driver, like, I acknowledge every time I get in the car and when I put my kid in the car or put a friend in the car or whatever, I can do everything right and I'm still taking a risk.
I mean, listen.
You know what I mean?
I'll bring it down.
And it's because it's the other person. You can't totally rely on others for your own safety.
Let me relate it to a thing that we all enjoy. Like, stage diving is fundamentally dangerous, not just to the person stage diving, but to the people having their necks compressed by somebody landing directly on the top of their head. And now we all agree there's ways to do it responsibly. But you are still taking, even me, the thinnest man that's ever lived, is still taking somebody else's life in my hands when I choose to do that.
That's right.
And
Right, but they're also, but they have a part in that.
Yes, they attended the show.
They stand in the front. No, I mean, that's the
difference. I think, like, if I'm going to, like, not me or whatever, like, yeah, my mom's a fucking Pathmark.
Yeah.
And some fucking dude that was like, I needed to see fucking band that plays, you know what I mean? That plays every fucking weekend, right, or will once everything opens up. And like, my mom gets sick because this fucking idiot couldn't wait another month or two.
I know.
Then that's beyond, like, she doesn't have any agency about that. She's literally just doing something that's a regular life.
Well, right. Well,
that, like, you're not walking. She's not like, you know what? Like, I just want to see what it looks like. I'm going to stand outside the fence.
No.
You get sick.
You're totally right. There's the only thing is, it's like reasonable agency, right? Like you're not, your mom has the agency to not go to the grocery store, but that seems like the thing that happened through COVID, which, you know, there was a lot of people who, I shouldn't say a lot of people. There are people who literally didn't leave their houses. Yes. You know, like, maybe went outside on their deck or did whatever, you know. But, I mean, in my house, this is a good example. Amanda left the house one-fifth as much as me because I was like, okay, one of us should be the person who goes and does grocery shopping and this shit, you know, and does all this.
Right.
So there's me. But you're right. Well, it's like, this is the interesting part and why I think this is such a fun conversation, because I don't think any of us actually disagree with the conversation. It's where the slider goes in terms of what is reasonable acceptance of risk for self, what is reasonable acceptance of risk for others, and where you put that, and reasonable responsibility to take on for others. Because I tend to agree, like, it would suck. Like, I think these shows that were happening through COVID, like, they've happened. Like, I'm not mad, but I am disappointed or weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, come on. Like, maybe, like, if you put someone at risk, like, that's a bummer. And I'm not saying you did, but maybe you
for
did.
What?
But, like, let's say it's April now. Let's say in October, I strongly feel there'll be shows back. I think there's going to be shows back in October. Right.
Yeah, 100%.
But
I don't think COVID's going to be zero at that point either, you know?
No. But I think I don't know. I mean, like, it's like, I had a thought and then Pat.
No, it's okay.
Sorry, I said your name. Tom, I was just going to say, you're for what is completely valid, except you can always reduce life to the for what. Like,
I had to go to the supermarket, or I had to go to work because if I didn't go to work, I wouldn't get paid,
right? Sure.
And my family couldn't survive.
Right.
Sure.
All right, I caught it. For what? Because I had to support my family.
Yep.
You had to go to a fucking punk show?
Listen.
That's the way I look at it. Is it like
I
that?
Get it. I get
lasted
it.
For 12, 14 months.
I fully get
16
it.
16 months kill you?
Tom.
That's my whole thought in the whole thing. And there's no one that's going to give you, like, when it's not going to be like, you know, fucking Fauci's not going to come and, like, open the gate and be like, we're good to go. Everybody get out there. Like, people are going to have to make their own determination.
Yes.
But I think it's just short-sighted to me.
Tom, I can't argue that it's not short-sighted, because I think if you're looking at it through that lens, everything is. Because here's my point is, I function completely fine in this current environment. I'll confess that I was able to sit outside and enjoy a meal at a dining area the other day and enjoyed myself so goddamn much. I had no idea how much I was missing,
right,
sitting at the dining area of Whole Foods. Sure. Which, by the way, I'm going to send you guys a photo. Don't say his name here. I'm going to send you a photo of the fella that I met, mm-hmm, while I was eating. And we had a perfectly wonderful conversation. I want you guys to tell me if you've ever seen two human beings that look less, myself and this fella, if you've ever seen two human beings that were less obvious, like, we just didn't look like we would be chilling. But had a totally fascinating conversation with him about being a young father. And because here's a weird thing I never realized.
You can't relate.
I can't relate.
No, you didn't know Tom. Pat has a 3-month-old that's been a secret.
No,
young
listen,
dad.
This fella had a kid when he was 18, and he's young looking. So he said, yeah, my life is a fucking misery, man. He goes, if any place I go with my daughter, who is like now 16, they think we're dating. And it's so uncomfortable because my life is kind of like warding off creeps. And then
yeah, that's not a fun situation.
And then I look like the creep everywhere I go. So like, it's like I had never thought about that perspective in my life of being the guy that has a kid when you're 18. I never thought about it. And it was so we had a very fun conversation. Do you see this fellow that I just sent you?
Yeah, that's
I have no idea who this is.
That's a very odd pairing, and I don't know who that is either. Just going on the visual,
he's nobody. He's notable because he won a couple fitness awards, but he's
a big man.
But I'm just saying, like, just based on what you know of him on that look, and based on me,
Ronald Reagan. I mean, looks like you're both great.
You're wearing the same size shirt.
Anyway. Point is, I got a lot out of this thing that I didn't know I valued. And Tom, here's all I'm saying is I'm comfortable here and you've taken it on the chin. But there's people who have lost their goddamn minds, full stop, by not having any social outlets that are meaningful to them.
Of course.
And there are people that would rather risk their life and your life than watch their mental health deteriorate any further. And I almost can't blame them.
Well, here's the thing. I think I could label them both. I can understand it and say, like, I'm not mad at it. And also say, yes, maybe a little selfish, you know? And I don't even say that with any kind of malice, because I do. I think we've all seen it. The mental health impact of this is going to last for years.
Hell fucking yeah.
Right. So a fucking hardcore show in June is going to help you?
I know.
Some people.
That's what I'm saying. That's my whole point. I know. Like, and I get it. It's a lot of people. It's their fucking business. It's their livelihood. That I get. But to me, and maybe I'm crazy, the shows that are like these like DL quiet, shows that get announced 2 weeks after they happen, and you can say like no one got COVID, like you would know that,
right?
Because like, what are you following up with all people that showed up at your show and be like, show me your fucking negative?
Yeah, not a lot of contact tracing at shows.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Not the ones that we're talking about. But to me, none of these bands are touring bands that are like, fuck, you know what, dude? Like, I got a mortgage, man. That to me, I think. That's where it doesn't make sense. Like if fucking, 35 bands that only play Brooklyn and only, would go between like fucking like, like Shea Stadium and the fucking Acheron are now playing shows, because fuck it, man. It's, it's fucking anarchy, bro. Then you're a fucking idiot. But if it's like, hey man, fucking whoever, fucking Sick of It All,
Tom,
Madball, whoever, those dudes, this is their entire livelihoods. I give that more of a pass because it's not just, it's not just entertainment. Sure. It's also their fucking jobs. And like they're adult men and adult women with children and houses and rent and kids, like that I get. And that goes back to my thing about the touring stuff. It's like, yo, dude, like if this wasn't like your fucking livelihood, like let the adults go out first.
Oh, see, I hear you.
That's how I took it.
And what you're saying, it makes sense. I just don't agree because like this is, I say this as a guy whose band, I have one band whose capital is at its peak at the moment. And then another band whose capital has to be rebuilt because we haven't had a full length out in a long time. So like I see both ends of it. Like, okay, so Drug Church will probably get preferential treatment when we start touring again because we have an album coming out. People feel good about the prospects of that, whatever. And Self-Defense is going to have to scrape because we'll probably have a release by the next time we tour, but like we don't have anything for a couple of years. So,
but now is Self-Defense their primary income?
No, that's a fact. But here's what I'm saying, Tom. Is it's not, and Self-Defense, granted, we're all like, we're all adults and like, but what I'm saying is it's not your income until it is. And some of these kids, like, we won't know what the next big thing is that's going to, frankly, and I say this again, I say this with somebody with skin in the game, that we don't know what will eat up. Like, what's going to kill Drug Church? Something. You know what I mean? Eventually, because that's the way that life works. And eventually there's going to be a kid band that is going to knock me out of my holds. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
sure.
And that's the way it works. And we don't know what that is until we know what that is. And that's this is why I think that, just on a purely personal level, like some of the people that get caught up in the numbers game of touring music and all that, I think that it can be really unhealthy, because you have to accept the fact that you're part of a tradition. And part of that tradition is, I guess, for a lack of a better word, naked capitalism or just the changing of times, that things, we don't know what's hot until it's booked and it fills 600 kids and you go, whoa, what the fuck
right.
is
you
that?
Go from 1 of 4 to 4 to 4. We go from 1 of 4 to 4 of 4 back to 1 of 4.
It's 100%. So
that's how it works.
Yes. And not everybody understands that. It's weird, but my point is, Tom, that I don't give any preferential treatment to the established acts, even though I'm in some, simply because you never know what's going to happen next. And some kids who I use Polar Bear Club. Polar Bear Club had no intentions of being a full-time band.
Nope.
And then they put out a record that people loved overnight. Yep. Full-time band.
Yep.
It just happened.
Right. But and I totally understand that. But if you're not depending on that income, if fucking Polar Bear Club blew up during the fucking pandemic and didn't know what was awaiting them, then there's no loss. But if, like, you know, whoever, Turnstile, fucking Touche, whoever, you know, bigger bands, that this is legitimately their full-time job, like, I feel like they need to be given the first opportunity to be made whole again before, you know, they get eradicated for fucking new band X that everyone's gonna knock them out of there.
You know what? I hear you. I
don't give a shit. I have no skin in the game. Right. Don't ever tour again. I don't care. Like, but, whatever. But, like,
but so Bob is going to get the reference that the Agents of Apocalypse, right? So they're these like mutants that follow the mutant archvillain Apocalypse, right? And their whole thing is that they just follow him because they're extreme Darwinists that believe that he's the top of the chain. So the second that he's weak, they turn on him.
Survival of the fittest.
And that's how I like, and this is no disrespect to anybody that we're talking about, because we're talking about people whose fortunes are much greater than mine, and I'm happy for all of them. But, like, it's just the turning of the wheel of karma. You know what I'm saying? Like, or Dharma, I think, actually. Like, you're up and then you're down. And I just think that each one of these bands is going to have to fight for their way out of this pit. And I totally understand what you're saying. I simply think this is the funnest time in music that I can remember.
I hope so.
So, we got through, I think that was real good. Before we,
there's a lot of debating.
Yeah, it's good though. I think
let's talk more fun stuff.
Let's kind of like, I think all three of us can
make one last statement,
please.
Yes.
To me, and I don't know, I mean, you guys might not be old enough, but like, to me, I see it as if, like, all right, going to Europe in the 90s, right, was an accomplishment.
Right. And then it lost all.
Not everyone got to go. Right. Yeah. So it was kind of like, you know, you'd go over there in 97 and you'd be like AF, Sick of It All, Madball, Ignite, Turmoil, Damnation, Battery. There was like 20 bands before you. And that was really it, you know. And I remember the first time that we were over there and like a local New Jersey band, like when we got to the first show and they're like, oh, your tour mates will be here. And I'm like, we don't have any tour mates. And this band from Jersey,
right,
paid their way and just jumped on shows with us, right? But after that, it was kind of like, well, now you ruined it for everybody that like did like built their way up to this. You snuck in the back door, and then it was kind of like, I mean, this band's of fucking demos. They got to go to Europe. Before, it was like a fucking gigantic rite of passage. Now it's like you have a hot fucking cassette and you can go, you know what I mean? And I think I kind of look at touring now like I look at that, how it was back then. That was kind of like, yo, man, let fucking Turmoil get another bite at this apple before you come over. You book a tour, it fucking flops, and then the next time they're not going to be as likely to give another band a chance or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm going to tell a quick anecdote that I've never – the related anecdote that I don't think I've ever been specific about. Listener of the podcast, Nate Wilson.
Yes.
In a number of bands. Also, one of them was The Oath, right?
Yep.
Das Oath. And which, by the way, I just went to their Wikipedia and – I wonder if Mark McCoy did this. Somebody deleted them for lack of significance. That's not true. There's bands that are way less significant.
Oh, way less. Wicked. That was a prolific touring band, and like, yeah.
So, it's been recently deleted. 2019 rather. God, what a fucking scummy move to delete somebody's shit. Anyway, point is, I remember being actually mad at Nate Wilson, who I did not know, because Das Oath was playing. Does anybody say Das Oath? The Oath was playing. They had a European tour booked and he opted out and he said, I just been too many times. And I remember being mad. You know what I mean? Like, I was sitting there with
as
my
a local. Yeah,
I'm a local. I'm playing downstairs Valentine's three times a month.
You're just turning down going to Europe. Damn.
Yeah, and
I still feel that way.
See, now I fully get
Rachel's
it. I don't turn down Europe. I like Europe, but I fully get like the.
I don't get it.
I get the. Oh yeah, I've done it. Come on, man, I've done it a bunch. Like Tom, this is not me flexing. There's maybe four European cities that I can navigate on foot without looking at a map. And like that means I've been there too much. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. But is it really too much? It's pretty fucking awesome. Think about all our friends that never got to do that.
That's a fact.
Well,
that's how I look at it. 95% of bands don't get there.
It's all in relativity though. You know what I mean? If you just went four or five times in the last 18 months, and you just want to be home for a while, you could probably understand that feeling too.
Sure. But like now, like even like with Indecision or whoever, like we get like, you know, oh, you want to do like a week? And like they'll be like, again? And I'm like, you've been there like eight times. You're 45 years old. Not a bad breakdown. Like, and then I think about all our friends that never got to go once.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, it's all true.
You fucking asshole, take that goddamn, you know what I mean? Like, well, it's a really far flight to Australia. Okay. Take some fucking Xanax.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how lucky are you to even have that? You're lucky enough to fucking play outside your fucking zip code. Yeah. Never mind going to far other countries, other states. Like, you know.
All true. I mean, look. 100%.
It sounds like I'm completely going back on my let the full-time bands go back first. But I'm not.
Listen, both things can be true at the same time. I'm just saying that for myself, I'm enjoying the survival of the fittest moment,
because you're fit.
That's a fact. Yes.
Very right now you're fit.
Yeah, that's a fact.
So you're kind of like everybody line up at the tip. Let's bring it. What do you got?
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
If you were pushing self-defense right now,
mm-hmm.
or had like your record, whatever you had to do with self-defense was ready to go.
Well, here's a good example. Self-defense wanted to do some shows and I said, are you guys fucked in your fucking heads? Like, we're not doing a show until we have a release, like full stop. And the reason for that is because, yo, it's a rebuilding year. You know what I'm saying? And I get excited for rebuilding years. I love rebuilding. You know what I mean? Like, I rebuild
those draft picks.
I rebuild so much, I might as well get a job as a contractor. But like, it's, I get not everybody likes that, but yes. And for the record, okay, let me try to
relate. You have options. You have options.
Okay, let me try to relate to everybody. I'm going to try to extend my love to everybody here. If I was a kid who couldn't get a show at a proper venue over the next 18 months because they were packed out with what I saw as aging dickheads, I would be mad. And if I was a dude who was on the backside of my career, but still had plenty of life in it, but couldn't get the holds on shows I wanted because a band that I know is going to break up in 6 months in every local area is fucking occupying my holds. I could imagine being mad at that too. So I see both sides. I just love right. the chaos.
Now, are holds based strictly on, is it strictly on who got there first, or will they be like, well, this, like, do they give priority to certain things?
They'll be like, well, it's supposed to be who got there first, but they'll be like, well, you know,
this band's going to fucking sell it out. Yes. This band might not. Got it. I mean, it's tough. I don't mean to shit on newer bands or whatever, but it's like, if you're not, if like, no, if you have Tom, like a regular job.
Tom, you should be clear so that people understand you are in a newer band. So it's not
like I can wait. I'll never play again. I don't give a shit.
Sure. But you got to understand, like, while you are in a newer band, neither of us is 19. You know what I mean? And just having that intense need to get out and prove yourself in the thing that you've been practicing at and trying to be good at.
That's also for all angles of this. I think that perspective comes in is the, how many shows have you been to in your life, Tom? Right.
I mean, it's gotta be thousands.
Can't even count. Patrick, same. No. Me, same. To the kid who's 20, who had a whole year of shows that they were looking forward to, or were about to go tour on, or whatever. You know what I mean? Man. And I'm not disagreeing. I'm not even like, I see all the sides on this, but I really feel, I think they feel differently when they think about getting back to shows. Like I think about how important hardcore shows were to me from age 16 to 22. Were they more important than my mom's life? No chance. Come on, you know? But
I mean, that's different though. I feel like, you know, like if you haven't toured yet, or like, you know,
No. I'm not going into the touring thing. I'm talking like,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. But I'm talking to the mental health. I think it also like bands who are just getting started and maybe had stuff planned or just getting, you know, like a good example, Drain hasn't done much touring yet. You know, like they came out to the East Coast and did This Is Hardcore. I think
that ruins my whole thing. That literally ruins my entire stance because like them and Gulch haven't really toured much. They should be in the top 10 bands to tour.
That's what I'm saying. And let it's the like market decide.
And there's other things like that.
That's not who I'm talking about.
No, of course. No. I know. And there's, you know, there's,
and there's no band in particular.
No, I know. I totally agree. But like it's just, I'm not even going to any specific band or even trying to give a counter to your point. I'm just saying for the people who are young, and that could be 19, that could be 24. Damn, I'm not even trying to make a stake for them, but I'm just trying to put myself in those shoes. And the way that this shit would impact me now versus impact me then, I think I'd feel different. Like Patrick used the term thirsty. I think all three of us, if we were 22 and shows just went away for a year, we all still love hardcore. We still like shows and all that. But I think there'd be a little bit more eagerness in our brains to get back to shows. I don't think that any of us would actually have changed our stance. I don't think we'd have been like throwing shows in October last year or something, nothing like that. Yeah. But I do think like, damn, these years have made it easier for me to say, yeah, man, like if no shows happen until 2022, I'm cool. If I'm 20, I'm looking at my fucking old ass and going, old man, I'm good if you don't go to shows till 2022 too.
Oh, listen, let's just be frank. We know where I would be if I was 22. I'd be fucking being called right wing or some shit online because I'd be like, hey, I'm doing a show whenever the fuck I want. Fuck you. And getting into trouble nonstop. Like, we know who I'd be. I'd be fist bumping with John Joseph. You know what I mean? I'd be like, listen, yeah, we're on this. Like, because you can't tell a kid shit. And that's just what it is. Like, it's like,
but I don't know if it's the kids. That's the thing. I don't know if it's the fucking, the 22-year-olds aren't the ones that are being out of pocket.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay. That's, well, true. That's a fact. That's there's true. a great number of people, but
to me, all right, I've been to hardcore shows for the majority of my life. I go to more hardcore shows than probably anyone on this call right now.
For sure.
That's a fact. Yes.
But like, and that's like, you know, I mean, that's fine. I have like a, you know, if it was to me, it was like, we're going to have this in June. 50-50 shot that it won't be problematic. Or you could wait till August and it's like 90-10 it won't be problematic. I could wait. The majority of my friends are fucking hardcore people that I've met over the years that have grown into friends that are like adults and have families. And, you know, I'm not like the, you know what I mean? It's not like there are certain people that it's like, dude, you got to do something else. Like, I just still kind of love hardcore, even though I have other things.
Sure.
But I think, you know, given those choices, like for the greater good, I would fucking hold out.
Yeah,
and know that like I'm mitigating the impact of me going to a show by that much more by just holding on for a little bit longer.
Yes, but
okay. That to me,
and
I don't make money from it.
That's true.
So I mean, I can't say that.
And respectfully, as you said, everybody has their peel off moment. Everybody. So for some people, it's going to be June. For
some other people, won't be
it's
going
to be right. late November.
Right.
But but everybody and is going to peel off from this notion.
Yes.
Can I just want to hijack this conversation for just a moment to talk about I don't check my own Twitter very much at all anymore because it's just there's too much chaos in the world and I find myself getting really negative. But I did just check the Axe to Grind @s that, and somebody just hit us with the who's the other Morse? Is that
Todd?
Todd, thank
you. Todd.
Somebody just hit us with the photo of Todd in front of the popcorn. And I was out for a hike the other day, and I thought, what if Todd was really small? Did that one ever occur
to you? Like Ant-Man size?
Yeah, like what if Todd
It doesn't explain the couch, but perhaps like he's just part of a secret society we're unaware of.
What if he's like he lives in a dollhouse? You know what I mean? Because I was like, have you ever heard this whole like idea of magical realism, like the literary idea where it's the way that we construct reality? The example that's often used is you go on things that are proven in the past, but you can't actually know them for the present. So what right. I mean by that is the classic example is you go to bed, it's raining. The next day there's a car parked outside your house that was not there previously. You assume because it's reasonable and sane that somebody drove it to your house overnight and was like, perhaps they live across the street or whatever. You don't assume that it grew there overnight. Right. But it's just this notion of like looking at the world without preconceived without assumptions. Right. And so I was thinking in line with that and thinking, what if Todd was really small? And now that I'm looking at the photo, it makes it much funnier.
Like, yo, thank you, everybody. This was a good episode.
That was popcorn.